Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Lovely Travels podcast. This episode, I would have called it Double Level Trouble, as Emma's big brother James is on the show. James is a big motorsport fan and has travelled quite a lot to follow this passion, picking up great stories and meeting great people along the way. Emma and James reminisce a little bit about travelling together as kids, seeing Cousy Bill on travels together, and we get a little bit of advice from James about how he likes to travel. James, thanks for being on the show. Welcome back anytime. Dear listeners, enjoy this one, and I'll see you all soon.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, my big brother, Jamesy.
Hello.
Well, James Lovell, more formally. I always start our podcast by asking, who are you? But maybe it's a bit obvious. And how do we know each other? But tell us a little bit about you, James.
I'm your older brother, only brother. I work in the air freight industry. I work with an airline at the moment, United Airlines. It's good working with an airline for something like this with travel, which we love. I love travel. So it's good to finally chat about travel with you on this podcast. And I also love motor racing, motorsport, and have traveled for motor racing in particular as well. I guess that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. We just had an episode about traveling for triathlons, and I've had one about traveling. I travel for adventures as well. I think it's a good reason. And I was on a podcast with Amanda Kendall about on her Thoughtful Travel podcast, and they talked about traveling for sport. And yes, you would be a travel spectator for sport because you don't compete in motor racing.
No, although I'd like to, I like to drive racing cars, and I have done that too on some travel, and traveled specifically for that, and which you were there for one of them as well.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. We'll come back to that. Quite obvious how we know each other. You are my brother, and you're very lovely. You are lovely. We are lovely family. But you also listen to the podcast, which is so lovely, and you've told me honestly that you listen to ones that are of interest to you. And I said, that's fair because it's more than 80 now.
Yeah.
But quite a few are of interest to you because you've probably been on those trips with me or know the people who were involved.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Some places we've been together, of course, and then other places I've been to separately. Yeah, that's right.
And so we'll roll this question into one. I know the answer, but for everyone, for the listeners at home, where do you live now? And where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I live currently on the New South Wales south coast in Winoona. We moved here just this year, bought our first home, which is awesome, exciting. And I'm from the same place as you. We were both born in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, and that's where we started for my first 3.5 years and your first year, roughly. And then most of the time was in Engadine, which is south of Sydney.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's pretty cool that you're still in that sort of area, but you've gone and you've lived around a few other places though in between. Where have you, I mean, not like, we don't know town specifically, but what other, you've lived overseas and you've lived in other cities?
Yeah, I've lived in England for 2.5 years. Also, once we got back, I moved to Brisbane just for a couple of months, but I still got to, you know, use that time to look around Brisbane. And then for my wife's job, we moved to Melbourne for 2 years, which you did too. So it's like I'm following you, but I haven't got to the Gold Coast yet.
You did live in you lived in Brisbane before me.
I guess.
You know, Queensland before me. And I've had the pleasure of visiting you in all the places that you've lived, and sure, you came and visited me. You almost didn't, actually. We went, I was living in Mexico. It was pretty random. And then you were going to travel around the States for kind of like 6 weeks, 2 months was the plan.
8 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, oh, so you're going to come visit? And you were like, oh, nah. And yeah, I gave you a little bit of a talking to. I sort of said, how often is your sister living in Mexico? And I haven't lived there back since, so that statement is true. But how often does your sister live in Mexico? And you came down for 5 days and we actually had the most wonderful time.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was, I was so set on seeing as many states as possible in the US that I it didn't cross my mind. But, yes, it was awesome to do that. It's the only time I've been to Mexico and I really enjoyed it. So I'm glad I did that for sure.
And it was a pretty crazy time because, yeah, we were only meant to catch up in Mexico and then swine flu came. So we're currently in COVID, it's a pandemic, and that was a pandemic that I fled. I've talked about that on my Mexico episode and another episode too, but, yeah, it was pretty intense. And when you're on your own in a country, a developing country, and they're talking about closing borders, bit scary. And you were not very far away, really, up in Illinois with our cousin, and I called and asked if I could come, but you were off to Indy soon after, in the Indy 500 qualifying, and that's something very special to our cousin, and he talked about on that on his episode. But he sort of said, you know, he's very wonderful and lovely to the people that he visits and didn't want to overstretch the hospitality, and so sort of said, and he thought I wouldn't be interested as well, so he sort of said, oh, you can come, but you can stay back with our friend Dougie and Christy, and you can hang out with Dougie's daughter Christy, who I'm good friends with and I love her very much. But he always tells the story, says, you're not sticking me with someone's daughter, I'm coming to Indy. I don't think I said it like that, but I did.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I remember very much that time crossing the border myself. I crossed the border and arrived into the US the day that the swine flu apparently had started to spread that way. And I went straight to a doctor in Houston and I was all fine. Yeah, a few days there. And then, yeah, you met up with us and Indy was a great trip. Great trip.
Well, it ended up being really fun that we actually got to have that experience together, and you got to share your love, and you you know, used me as a bit of bait to get to know some of the drivers. We got our we were very lucky with our cousin getting his friend giving us some pit passes, so we got to go down in the pits and meet some of these, you know, very, very well-known drivers, but who you knew every single one of.
Two Aussies.
Yes, so we have photos of that, but you would say, oh, my sister wants a photo with you. So I had the photos, we saw but they were so lovely and welcoming, and our cousin's a bit of a celeb around there too, so getting to have that inside experience that we would never get, you can't buy that.
No, that's right. The pit passes is something you can't buy for sure. And then we went to Miami for Florida. And following that, New York, but Orlando, Disney World, and Universal Studios were two massive highlights for sure.
Yeah.
Running around, well, Disney World is four parks. We got to all four parks in a day, all the major rides, Universal Studios, two parks in one day, and all the major rides, and several times that day because it was torrential rain.
Yeah.
But we just kept going.
Yeah, we were fortunate with that in when we went to Disneyland when we were, I was 9, you would have been 11, our first time in the US, which was 96, 97, we went twice, and we went to California Disney. It actually rained that day as well, but the perk of when it rains and you go to these theme parks is that nobody else wants to go. So we went on every single ride bar two because they were closed due to rain. So
yeah, the teacups for obvious reasons.
Yeah. And there was one other one that, you know, so it was always a bugbear. But we also, but the sad thing on that occasion was that we missed the parade and all that. So when we went to Disney World in Florida, when we got to watch the parade and the fireworks and everything, I think we both got a bit emotional because it was a, really was a dream come true getting to go and see that.
Yeah, and I think 12 years apart to have that, what I call luck, to have it rain 12 years apart going to those theme parks is just incredible luck, I think. Yeah. Very lucky.
Yeah, and it was really great because, we hadn't really, I don't know, was Miami on your, and Orlando? Orlando was, but was Miami and Key West we also went to together?
Yeah, were Miami was on my original plan, and then to go to Daytona, and Orlando's obviously near Daytona. The reason for Daytona was to drive a NASCAR, which is what you attended with me. So that was on my original plan, and Miami too. And then we had a decision whether to do Key West or the Bahamas. Remember, there was a cruise to the Bahamas, but you know, you wouldn't get much time there for a day trip. So we chose Key West, and it was a really, really fun trip too, out to the reef. Snorkeling above the reef, yeah. Mm.
Nice. And you kept waking me up because we were driving over the bridges. Like, you're like, this is the bridges from True Lies. And we'd had a big night out, and I was like, I don't, just don't care. Like, like, Emma, look, and there's another bridge. And I'm like, yeah, there's seven of them. Let me sleep. I've seen one.
I like True Lies. Good movie.
It was a good movie. But that's the thing in America, isn't it? Everything's from a movie. And so you're always like, oh, this is that part. Like, we went to the Everglades and did the fan boat. And we're like, this is just like Waterboy with Adam Sandler. You know, they go on the fan boat. So it was very, it was really cool to share that experience. And, you know, yes, some of it was planned for you, but, you know, in a way then to have that together and have a travel buddy and some of those things that we'd been talking about for years. So all those familial memories. And then, yeah, it was really nice to be there for you when you did your Daytona because, yeah, you had someone to spectate and
film.
Yes, I'm the photographer and interviewer. So we have lots of great footage. But you did then try to get me to go to NASA,
to
the JFK's Space Center, and I refused. But you went.
Yeah, the Kennedy Space Center. I love space as well. So that's a. Something I missed at the start, but I went to 3 space centers in the US and based my trip around those destinations as well, for particularly for the space. So that's another thing I've gone to the US for. Also with Dad, we went to another the National Air Force Museum in Ohio, as well as Neil Armstrong's museum in Ohio too, and specifically traveled to there for that as well. So there are some things I go places for a reason. Yep.
And you're very good at looking those things up. And I must say, then I went with Dad to Florida because we did go on a cruise and we did end up going to the Bahamas. So this, at least keeping it in the family. But he wanted to go to the Space Center the day that we were waiting to get on the cruise. And I, again, refused. I was going to sit in the car, but he paid for me to go. I wasn't about paying. I just said, I just don't know if I'm that keen. It was good. It is worth going. I'm not as interested as you are, but I'm glad I went. So there we go, tick.
Yeah.
But so yes, we've covered that you've been to the States, but we love this question, and we do have a bit of our own little competition. So how many countries have you visited?
Yeah, I'm up to 32 countries now. Several of them are multiples too. So I've done a fair bit, I believe. So I'm pretty happy with that at the moment. But, you know, there's always room for more, isn't there?
There is, there is. And we did have, there was a funny time where you did ask me how many I'd been to, and I said my number, which at the time wasn't where it is now, but it's 64 now. Double. And then you said, oh yeah, but some of the places I've entered multiple times. So how many times have you entered a country?
Yeah, it's about 50, I think it's about 56 to 58. I can't remember the exact number right now. I do have it in a spreadsheet, but it's about 56, 58 times to a country.
I think you thought you were going to pick me at the post with that one. And then I said, well, I've been to India 11 times, UK 14 times, America 12 times.
Yeah, no Germany chance.
10 times. So I was like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to play that one. I should write that one down. It's very interesting.
I can't play anymore.
Well, I do have the mission to visit every country now. So, but it's fun. And, you know, it's not, we know it's not about that, but it's nice to keep a record. And
it's definitely fun.
Interesting. And I loved that when I did come to you and say, you know, I wrote to you and I wrote to other family members and said, oh, I've decided I'm going to visit every country in the world. You didn't go, Emma, that's ridiculous. And what are you thinking? Da, da, da. You were just like, okay.
That's
so where
exciting.
Are you going to go next? And, you know, and I came to you because you're actually very good at logistics and, you know, I said, okay, well, what's the best route for me to take? You know, if I'm going to go and do a trip for 6 weeks through Europe, what would be the best route to get around to as many? Or if I went to Africa, would it, you know, I'd cover this part and then I'd cover this, South America, you know, how can you cover as many without, you know, because you don't really want to be getting flying back and forth, which is what
exactly.
I did at the time.
Yeah, example with that is because I love to plan my trips. I know that between you and me, sometimes you like to wing some stuff. I'm very much, my itinerary is like hour to hour. So that's how I like to do it, and my wife too. One of them, we went on our honeymoon and we figured out that we wanted to do more of the summery countries to the second half of our honeymoon because it was further towards summer. And so the countries that were mainly just for the city sort of side to, at the start, but we figured out that we could not get from Portugal to Malta without going back to London, as an example, whereas we could go from London to Portugal, Portugal to Paris, Paris back to London, and we held a wedding UK reception there, which was lovely. And then we could fly to Italy, and from Italy get to Sicily, Sicily down to Malta, and that worked out perfectly. So that's an example of logistics where, yeah, you don't want to fly back and forward, so you might have to map it out a bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in my book, if you have to add in another place because you have to go by somewhere else,
well,
you may
as
well.
That's another way to do it.
It's frustrating, isn't it, because, like, some places you see them next to each other and you think, oh, that I'll just go there. And I remember somebody actually with the US and the Caribbean, he's like, surely I can just go, like, they're all next to each other, I can go dot dot dot. And I was like, no, unless you go on a cruise ship, that's the way you go dot dot dot. They're not connected, they're separate countries, they're separate islands. Then he's like, surely there's a ferry. I'm like, no, they who's going to run the ferry, you know? Whereas some places are, like, more set up like that. You know, you probably know it better than me, but, like, we want to go to Malta from Italy, I think it is possible. I might have looked up the flight. But, you know, it's one of those ones where you think, oh, it looks so close. But you have to remember they're completely separate entities, you know. So unless that's a regular travel route, why would they set up a plane for that? Otherwise they're operating independently.
Yeah, look, and with the pandemic, a lot's changed since before the pandemic to now too. Working for an airline, our routes there's obviously the normal ones that you always have, but there's new ones, for example, or some that you don't do. So, yeah, a lot's going to change. It's going to take more research at the moment. So, but yes, we did Catania, Sicily to Malta, and that's a good one because there's two. Sicily's a nice island, and so is Malta.
Good. Great. I'll add it to the plan. But, yeah, we don't know, you know, you and I have been talking lately because I've just booked the other day my flights to the UK and the US for April, 2022. But, you know, with that comes a list of, you know, for each country you enter and exit, there's three or four requirements that you have to make sure, you know, I've got to post it on my wall to get the ESTA done, and then you have to fill in forms and, you know, so when you're going somewhere now where we used to be able to go, you might have gone to eight countries in 4 or 5 weeks. Being Australian, we like to do that. Other people that spin their head out, but we try to make the most of our travels. But now it might be that the entry and exit requirements are too much, or that you have to stay for a longer period, or simply that the two countries are not agreeing on their policy, so you may not be able to enter. So it will be interesting and a lot more of a logistics hassle for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's stay positive and hope we can still get wherever we want to go.
So tell me, you know, it is part of our family and it has been part of our lives, but why do you love traveling?
Yeah, look, I love traveling because I think I just love experiences, and I just want to see and do as much as I possibly can in my life. I think life's for living in that regard, and we've got this planet to explore and may as well do it. Anywhere I go, I mean, this may come later in the question with your tips and stuff, but I like to do as much as possible in a place. If you're there, you may not come back, go all out. That's just me. Others are different, like to relax, take it slow, but I go fast paced. Got a baby on the way, so my holidays might change, might become slower. But that's why I love traveling. Yeah, want to see and do as much as possible.
Yeah, well, it depends on the nature of the place too, the places that you're going to. If they, you know, there was something that happened in the U.S. I remember the U.S., you were like looking through, you had the Lonely Planet and there was one place and you were like, there's a vacuum museum. And I'm like, James, you don't need to go to the vacuum museum. Like, you try to go to every, like, because America, they're, I mean, they just make something for everything. There's so many people, there are so many interests, whereas other places you go, there aren't quite as many. And I do like that in some places where there's not as much to do, because then you can maybe enjoy the surroundings a bit more, or
and the cultures is another thing I like travel for, by the way. Yeah. Culture as well.
Yeah. And depends on, again, the place you go, what the, you know, if you're going to more Western countries, it's a different type of experience to more of the other countries with more of a history, or just depends what you're going for. But we did have a point in New York where I told you, I think we were almost running and I said, you are not going to see this city in 2 days. You still wanted to see as much, and we saw a hell of a lot. I think people would be very impressed. But I said, you know, there's no way to cover New York City in 2 days.
Yeah, I've been back and we did another 4 days, and I think we probably covered all the major sites now. But I've had my wife at me before as well. I think it was the 8th day of the honeymoon and she says, I'm not running to another dinner or lunch. We're in Paris. You do not run in Paris, or, you know, or Italy somewhere. I can't remember. So I think we, it was like came to a thing where I'd say, all right, this is what I planned. You just say yes or no and we'll do whatever. So I think we did about half the things we planned, but it was, we still did a lot. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's nice, you get somewhere you don't realise that you would enjoy it so much, or, you know, you meet some people and you want to hang out with them, or, you know, there's not necessarily something to do, you know, say like even with New York, being in Central Park, there's not, you don't necessarily need to do anything there. It's just kind of a nice place to be. And Paris is a place where there are things to do, but it's also a nice place to just sit and be and enjoy
at a cafe
atmosphere. Yeah. And but you can still plan that. You could plan in 2 hours of sitting.
That's right. You can definitely plan that. And look, another thing is scenery, especially as you, and architecture as you get older, you know, like just looking at the architecture, looking at scenery. Sometimes it's not all about a big city either. Sometimes it's great, like, you know, where Cuz Bill lives, you know, 2 to 10 minutes, depending which way you go out of his town, out of his house, you're just straight into countryside. And you just see those big green, especially in spring, just the green is just a beautiful green. And you just look out and it's just as far as the eye can see, this lovely greenery, or you got the tobacco barns, true red up and down barns, like American style. And that's just great sometimes, just to be driving along, looking at the scenery.
Yeah, and you do love driving. And so sometimes that is the perk of driving through a place, is that you get to see life. Just daily life, and part of the experience is that being in the car and looking out the window, and when you're driving you can't be doing something, so it's kind of nice to just look around you. And yeah, I enjoy those days with Cuzzy where we just go out to Munro, and the whole aim of the day is to go and have lunch with someone, but part of the day is also just taking in that scenery, stopping along the way to visit many of Cuzzy's friends.
Well, that's another part, is that you do as the locals do. hanging out with locals is sometimes just the best experience. You know, they know local places, or just hearing their stories about their local area. Just, yeah, doing as the locals do is also a nice thing in a different place for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell me your favorite country. I know it's a big question, and why?
Yeah, it's a big question. I had to think about this one. Look, probably just for the difference of compared to our country, I'd say Iceland is up there. And I know I went to at a different time to you. I went in middle of winter.
Ooh.
And it was like 4 hours of light a day. And it was completely snow covered everywhere. And I mean, at Cuzbills, it's been like that before too. But, you know, seeing waterfalls in between snow is just unreal. And we did a glacier hike on the one next to the volcano that affected the flights at the time. And there were these beautiful black streaks of ash in the blue ice. And it was just so different to what we have in Australia. The other one would be Egypt. Just for the history, you know, and the, you know, all the hieroglyphics, the temples, and I guess the mathematics, which is an interest of mine behind how they structured the temples. And, you know, there was one down at Abu Simbel, which is in a different place to what it used to be, but there was only 2 days of the year that light would shine all the way down this temple, which was, would have been over 30 meters long, and it would shine onto the back wall, in which there were four figures. It would only shine on three figures. The fourth one was the god of darkness. And it's just amazing that, you know, 6,000 odd years ago that they were, or 5,000 years ago, that they were doing this type of mathematics, and the structures and the carvings, amazing. So Egypt for that sort of aspect, probably. And just one more, probably America, just for, like you said before, there's just so much to see and do there. They've got a museum for almost everything, and there's just so much variety there. So, yeah, I guess those three.
Yeah, yeah. And what the natural landscapes of America too, I think, it's such a huge country that you can just experience such different climates and landscapes. You know, you can go skiing, you can go to beaches, you can the mountains and the forests are incredible. So, you know, it is that I think people sometimes don't want to visit the US because of the commercial side of things, or they think it's like Australia, but it's so huge that
different.
There's so much cultural difference within the country itself, but also just the, you know, the natural landscapes and their love of the outdoors is wonderful.
But I must say I enjoy everywhere I go.
So, yes, my next question was, do you have a least favourite or one that you wouldn't rush back to?
Yeah, look, I'd have to say I'd thought about this too. I think it would probably be Singapore, only because it's just a city, essentially. I mean, I did go all the way to the west to the Jurong Bird Park, and all the way to the north, actually across the causeway even to Malaysia, but all the way to the north where the zoo is. But look, at the time, there's new stuff there now since I've been, but at the time I pretty much covered off that whole city. So I don't see a real need to go back. And I went to the Formula One Grand Prix for the first ever night race, which was unreal, and a history event. So, yeah, I don't need to rush back there, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I have a similar feeling, but I've been to Singapore 4 times now, but also because I know I'll end up going back. It's such a hub. You know that you could easily get back there another time because from Australia, we're often flying through Singapore. So when people say, oh, I want to do a stopover, where could I go? And they say, oh, how about Singapore? I say, well, I've kind of done that a few times. It was lovely going and though, like you said, I now know people, but I was going to bring up Singapore because I think that was one of your, was it your, oh, no, it wasn't your first. It was one of, but you haven't been
yes,
to it,
yes,
as
you're
much.
Right. No, you're right. It was my first solo travel experience.
Oh,
overseas.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was for the Grand Prix, although I did meet two mates there who were coming back via Europe. But it was my first leaving Australia on a plane by myself. Yes.
It's very exhilarating.
Yeah, it was, that was my first like booking everything myself and everything like that. So, yeah, good experience. But and I enjoyed Singapore. It's just that I don't need to go back at the moment.
Yeah. And I always tie that together with the America trip, but I think that's what like reignited your love.
Oh, correct. That was my Kickstarter for like traveling solo, which is what made me want to, go around the US and then move overseas to travel more from England as a hub. Yes, that's right. That was my Kickstarter.
Yeah, because I remember talking to you maybe around that time a year or so before, and I asked you about traveling because I was traveling a lot by myself. I had been away for a year in 2006 and then lived in Canada, and it sort of kept up doing travel throughout uni. And you actually said to me that you didn't like travel, and I think I just said back bullshit. You know, I was like, travel's in our blood. It's our family. It's what we, we traveled growing up, and we had such wonderful time. We, you know, obviously our parents paid for it and organized it, but we loved being in other countries together as kids. So I didn't believe it. And I'm glad I was proven right.
Yeah, I think it was the relationship. I think that I had a solid relationship at the time, which eventually ended. And, why not? Off I go.
Yeah. And it's such a different experience, isn't it, traveling solo to traveling with family or to traveling with friends? It's traveling on your own that.
I would say traveling alone is a must at some point in someone's life because, I mean, as depends on your relationship and that type of thing, of course, but you just meet so many people, and you're opened up to more, I guess, opportunity as well. Like there was one example, I was in Atlanta, I drove to Talladega to watch a NASCAR race. I met some people after the race. They took me back to their like trailer park in Alabama. I stayed with them and he said, where am I going? I said, eventually Nashville. He said he was from Nashville. Call me when you get there. You can stay at my house. I did. Then another guy was down from Louisville. He's, where you going next? Louisville. I went to Louisville. I stayed at his house for 4 days, went to the Kentucky Derby. And I've been back to see that, one of the guys of that group twice more in the US. And I met a girl at Kentucky Derby who I've been friends with since and been back to see her twice as well. And me and Amy stayed with her on our last trip in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. Invited to the wedding. They invited us as well. And it just, it's great to, you get lifelong friends traveling for sure.
Yeah, you do. And, even our mum, and like you said, sometimes I know mum's like, oh, I want to go here, but I don't know if my partner will go. And it's like, we'll just go.
Even if you've got a partner, you can still go places, obviously, and you'll still meet people. Yeah,
and you can still do trips that, like, where you might be like you're going solo, but you're going to meet people. So you're going solo, but you're joining in a group tour. Say, that's still quite a daunting thing for some people to do, but you've got that safety net. But then you're also open to it because I have seen people come on the group trips that I lead and they come with a friend but then they actually kind of click with some of the other people quite well. And then they feel torn. They're like, oh, should I be like hanging out with my friend? But I want to meet these, I want to hang out with these new people. And it's funny because they thought they would need their friend. And then they get there and they're like, actually, I just want to do my thing. So, which should be cool too. That's, that's part of being, being open when you travel and allowing people to, if you want to go there, you go there and I'll go here and we can still be friends and catch up later.
I think it's important to do that, in all honesty. I think that's another tip I'd say. If you are in a group and you want to do something and they don't, do it. Yeah. Don't not do it because you may not go back and there may not be another chance. So if you want to do something, off you go and do it. Leave the group and come back to them later.
Yeah.
It's definite.
Yeah, it's really important. It'll be so sad to miss it. I don't know, there's a few times where I've, followed the group or not wanted to do something on my own, I went away with a few of our family members and we ended up going to Paris and I didn't go up the Eiffel Tower. We saw the Eiffel Tower, but I went up Montparnasse, which you look over Paris. I fully planned to go back to Paris, but it's been 15 years and I still haven't been up the Eiffel Tower. And it's like, because the other people had done it. And so, it's like, if that's something you really want to do, I should have said, I'm going to go. I'll catch up with you. Yeah. This evening, I don't care about the line up for 3 hours. I'll do it, you know.
And the same goes if others want to do something that you don't as well, don't be dragged to something you don't want to do as well. You might want to
spend money.
Spend money you don't need to spend or don't want to spend, or you need a break. I did everything in Egypt except for one thing, which was just a boat going snorkeling, which I'd already been snorkeling on that trip at the Blue Hole in Dahab. And I didn't see the need. I just wanted to relax at the hotel and I did. So that was an example. Yeah,
and that's okay. Now, you covered this a little bit, but what's it like traveling with your little sis?
Yeah, look, we definitely have a lot of fun. Just some quick things. We've already covered the Disney World, and that was great fun. But we went to Germany, and that was really nice. And we wandered Berlin. We did the free walking tour, and that was awesome. And went to a few museums there. And I think it's fun. We like to do the same sort of things. We like to try the foods. There's also support. I got quite upset at one point on the Germany trip. In the Holocaust Museum, and Emma was very supportive with me. So that was really nice. We did have that little tiff in New York, but it came good, and we did as much as possible. So that was just a communication thing, but mostly fun, same interests and just the same objective, I guess, for when we hit a country. Just while I'm on this, before I forget, there was one time in driving to Daytona Beach and Daytona track, racetrack, to do the experience. And there was it's just something simple, but we listened to a song. I can't remember what it exactly.
Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Not that one. That was another one, but the other one. I can't remember what it's called now. And it was really a pump up song. We were both singing it and just busting out, windows down, sun shining, driving, cruising, and just, that was really a good memory that's in my mind. Mm. It's nice. Oh, I can't remember the song now. But it was really good.
But whenever Poker Face comes on, I always think of you in that drive.
Yeah.
And for me, traveling with you, even though we have slightly different travel styles now, though I did travel that same way, but have slowed down a little bit. Maybe because I've been to places multiple times and I see that I am able to. I remember my first year traveling, I think I felt like I had to see everything and do everything, but then got quite exhausted. So, but it's easy. I find traveling with you easy. And I think that familiarity of growing up together and, you don't have to explain things and you just know. And we did have a funny moment. I think we were in New York and we were meeting some people and they said that they could understand us quite well. And they said, oh, that's because we're slowly talking to you. I said, if we talk to each other in our normal way, you won't understand us. And we did.
That's right.
Australians are fast, but we also, I guess, have our own connection.
Slang.
So, yeah. Slang.
Yeah. Cuz Bill said that when we talk to him, he never understands me unless I talk really slowly, but he understands Amy, for example, and you, and he'll say that when me and Amy or me and Emma talk, for example, that it sounds like we're talking another language, and it's because we increase the pace. But he'll also ask, you can say it if you want, but he says,
Emma, tell me what James said. And I say it. And he says, okay, thank you. Now tell James that I say, I can understand you.
Yeah. Translator. I remember the song. It was Infinity. And we were busting out to, I think it was Poker Face and then Infinity straight after, two in a row. And that's just something so simple. You can do it in Australia, obviously, but it was just a memory. I remember it was like we were driving over the bridge to Daytona, I think, or something. But that's a good memory.
With travel, you get taken, one little thing, a smell or a sound or music can take you right back to that place. And actually, you'll be very pleased to know that Infinity and Poker Face were on my birth playlist. So while I was in the birth suite, Finn was getting pulled out of me. You know, those songs were on. So they really do mean a lot to me and, yeah, have very fond memories of that travel time. But, yeah, traveling. We had a few nice moments too. Like, we were in Mexico. We met our friend, my friend Deborah, and she said, oh, you guys are so, like, you guys are so close. Have you always been that close? And, like, we were growing up. I think when you become teenagers, you sort of go in your own lives, you get cars, you can go off and do things, you have boyfriends and girlfriends. So that trip, being together, and it was like remembering what it was like to be kids. And, you know, we didn't have to work, we didn't have to, you know, we just get to hang out and have fun together. And she could see the bond between us, which was beautiful. And then we actually got to see Deborah in Germany, in Nuremberg.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, sort of had to have met someone together, and then to go and visit them together. And you very, very sweetly said that, you know, you lived in Europe, England for 2.5 years, and you said that the Germany trip was one of your favourites, which was...
Yeah, the Germany trip was awesome. I mean, yeah, it was nice to do it with you, obviously, and then a lot of history. And then, you know, I like driving, as you said, so it's nice to drive. And we did the Autobahn. That was cool.
In it, yes. James asked a very funny question. Usually, you know, you hire a car and you go and you ask, like, price or what's the safest maybe, or because they gave us a choice. Usually sometimes they just give you the car. So they're like, you've booked this class, which car do you want? And what question did you ask, James?
Yeah, I said, what's got the most horsepower?
She had never been asked that before, and she was so like...
She looked it up on the computer and everything. Yeah, and it was the Mini Cooper. Mini Cooper, six-speed manual.
The Renault was the second, but you were like, I think, the Renault was, but you were like, we were like, well, Mini Cooper's more fun.
Yeah, we got up to 214 kilometres an hour. Yeah, that was max speed.
It was pretty crazy. And it was special too because you had been to Germany, but you never got to go out in Germany.
Oh, yeah, I it's pretty weird, but I think I got bitten at soccer training, and it was a little midgey bite. These little midges like sandflies, and I just had I just kept getting affected by them, and this one grew to the size of a 20-cent piece. And the day I was supposed to go to Germany on a bus, but on the bus it grew from a 20-cent piece to like taking over half of my calf. Being young and silly, I went out drinking as soon as I got to Germany, and it got worse. It got harder, and it went down to my ankle. I tried to take some penicillin at the time. And had a nap. By the time I woke up, it had gone to my foot and all the way above, come up above my knee, and it was originally below my knee. So I went immediately to hospital by then, and I had cellulitis, infection of the cells, very close to getting septicemia. And my leg was like a tree trunk, rock hard, red, and just, it wasn't throbbing. It was just like constant, just pain. And I was in hospital for that night and then 2 more days. And they wanted to keep me another, but I had to get home, had to catch the bus back. So I signed myself out and I recuperated fine in England. But yeah, I got to do nothing apart from look out a window at the beautiful weather on opening weekend of Oktoberfest, which I didn't go to.
Which is still is still on the bucket list. You were meant to go last year.
Yeah.
You were maybe going to catch up there together. You were going to go for your birthday with your travel buddy, Greenie.
Yep. But COVID got in the way of that one. Yeah. So it's still on the list and it's still doable. So.
And it's okay to take a baby there. I went to one of the local Oktoberfests with my friends and their 6-week-old baby. Their family, like the big ones, a bit intense, but the local ones are very, very family oriented. So I'm sure baby can and will go to a beer fest with you. Or maybe it's a day with mum and dad can go out.
Yeah. So with that comes a tip, travel insurance, definitely get it. Because that was 18 or 1900 euro, which I did pay and was able to recoup back. Travel insurance, key.
Yeah.
And another girl on that same day, she got hit by a car and extremely, extremely injured, and she didn't have travel insurance. So
100%.
Crucial.
And it's, you know, our cousin came to Australia and she'd had an infection, stepped on coral.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, that had happened in Bali. She'd gone back to the UK, had got it checked out, but they didn't understand that nature of infections and having and coral, how bad it could get. So she came to Australia and ended up with an infection too and ended up in hospital. So, yeah, maybe as well, if you've got a bit of an infection, go to the doctor. And if it's still bad, get it checked out. And
Yeah, don't go drinking.
Oh, to be young and silly.
That's right.
But you worked out, I think, how many countries that we've actually been to together. So although we've been to quite a lot of countries, how many we've been to together.
Yeah, I think it's 9 in, if you count Australia, because we have travelled around Australia together as well as a family. So I think it's 9 if you include our home country as a travel destination.
I'm going to do them off the top of my head. Australia, UK, USA, Mexico, Japan, Germany, Scotland. Ooh, give me a sec. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to help me out if there's 2 more.
Did you start with Australia?
Yep. UK, USA, Mexico, Japan, Germany, Scotland.
Okay. I know that there's definitely 1 more. It's Asian. We went there not as a complete family.
Oh.
We were young.
Oh, Bali.
Yeah, that's another one. But there's 1 more. We met our auntie, uncle, and cousins there.
Hong Kong. Hong Kong.
No, at the time it was Hong Kong. Yeah, 9.
9. There we go. So we have been to a couple of Asian countries.
We might make it 10 in August next year, hopefully.
Hopefully we'll end up in Italy together. That would be phenomenal. Absolutely. That would be so great. But tell me, you know, we've talked about a couple of places, but where do you most want to go next? That might be Italy for the wedding, but where do you want to most go next after all this time of not traveling as much?
Yeah, look, they're going to be exactly the same as you. So we're due to have a baby in February, and we do have some elderly relatives. One will be 99, one will be 91 still, hopefully, by the time I visit. So it'll be USA and UK to introduce our son to the older relatives. And third would be, the Italy or Sicily wedding, in which we would hope to do, so maybe just more of Sicily or somewhere else, maybe more of somewhere of UK to see other family members and maybe more of Italy mainland. So, it'd be USA, UK and Italy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Keeping it simple for that first little bit.
Yeah, and just family related, as you exactly want to do the same. So you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's why we've been to these places so many times. So what you've given us a few over the chat, but do you have a couple of travel tips for us?
It's a random offer, I guess I'd say. Yeah, so do as I would personally do as much and see as much as you can in a country, because you never know if you're going to go back or maybe not to that city in particular. Travel insurance is a must. I've been in at least one circumstance. I think I was in another as well, but at least I think maybe 2 circumstances. Yes, I've had the ash cloud affect me twice over in Europe when I was living there, and I was covered both times, as well as the injury to my leg. Do what you want to do if you're with a group of people. So do, if you want to see something, go see it. If you don't want to see something that everyone else does, just chill or do something different. I guess that's my main 3 things, really. For me, which isn't everybody, I like to plan it to a T. So plan your money carefully. And I use Qantas Cash Card, because you can put it into different currencies on the one card. I found that really helpful. I plan an itinerary. Make sure you have all your travel documents and make sure you make it on time to all your legs. Yeah. That's all. Which I've been close to. I've been very close.
Dad and I need that reminder. We nearly missed ours in Munich. We throttled each other in the process.
I've got a funny one in New York. I got there before, but I waited in line to be polite. I didn't rush to the front and say, hey, I'm very close to the end. So by the time I got to the counter, I was 2 minutes late. And she said, well, you know, you missed the flight. And like, we're going to have to reroute you. And they tried all these reroutings and they're all ridiculous. And they said, look, we're just going to have to get you on this flight. They said, but you can't check your bag here. You need to take your bag all the way through the terminal to the gate. And that's where you can put it underneath. So I wheeled my big suitcase all the way through. I had to put it through the X-ray machine, but I collect key rings. Something I do. And there was so much metal in my bag that they wanted to go through my whole bag. And I'm already late for the flight. Then I had to run with my suitcase all the way to the gate and only just got on in time. So that was a good one. But don't catch the subway.
New York too. Yeah, well, I caught up. I got a taxi though. And
well, it's just as bad.
Well, I was buying shoes and we went to this special place where you can like run on the machine and they track your running and get your shoes. Anyway, it was not necessary, but we did it. Got the subway back to my friend's apartment and then it was like, okay, you got to go. And then of all the times, like everybody thinks of New York, you think of cabs, right? There's cabs everywhere. No frigging cabs. Like we were running around the corner of the street. My friends like hollering, waving, no one's around. And then I got a hybrid. It was an electric/petrol car. And we're driving down the freeway and he's like pulling over because the electrics were stuffing up. And I'm like, you're making me miss my flight. He pulled over a couple of times and yeah, I got in there and I missed my connection. The nice thing was that I had been staying with a friend. So I went back to her place, allowed 4 hours to get to the airport the next day. But yeah, just an expensive and frustrating exercise. So yeah, it's definitely there's certain places like New York, London, where I'm like, just allow so much time.
Yeah, London's pretty good. When I last went back, they've got this new the train that goes all the way through now. It's can't remember what it's called, but that's really good. But going to JFK Airport, go to the toilet before you leave the hotel because it is like a 2-hour drive to the airport in traffic.
Yeah,
that's another tip.
Too good. Always go to the toilet as much as possible.
Well, New York's ridiculous.
Well, my travel tip would be travel with your family members because it's making me all emotional. It was so fun and I hope we get to do it again because it's really special memories. And
I got emotional when I was saying how you supported me in Germany in the museum. I started to get emotional.
Well, I love you, Daisy, and I look forward to more travels with you. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels, that's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts, everywhere where you get podcasts, you can find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.